sometimes removed. That's all I can say. And that has nothing to do with any of this. A worship team, thank you. Sometimes it's good just to be in the presence of God. And the singing, you all, by time I'm done with the message, you'll understand why some of those songs were picked. And Kelly and Lisa, they don't know. Actually, I try to keep it a secret from them, really, is what I do. But those songs were awesome. So thank you. Yeah. As I begin, women, I have a question for you, ladies in here. Are there times when your husbands don't seem to be paying attention to you? Yeah, all the women are laughing because they know it's true. But one man wrote, listen to this. The ears are a marvelous creation. A piano has 88 keys, but each of your ears can hear a range of 1,500 keys. They are so finely tuned that they can hear the blood running through your vessels. The outside of your ear, it can catch up to 73,700 vibrations per second. He continued on and he said, my wife used to think that I needed my hearing checked. There's nothing wrong with my hearing. I just don't listen to her. It's not that I don't love her. It's just that there's something else that has caught my attention that I regard as being more important. Now, I can identify with that. And Lisa will attest to that. How about any of you other men out there? Yeah? It's not that we can't hear our wives. It just doesn't seem as important as what we are doing at that moment. It's a guy thing. I understand it. I'm okay with it. But you know, it's also true of everybody. That which we consider important, that which we value, that which has worth to us at that moment, that is what gets center stage in our minds. That's what grabs our attention. Everything else just kind of fades into the background. My great nephew, Brian, some of you know him, he's a real perfect example of that. If he's playing on his video game, oh, Nicholas isn't here, or if he's watching a television show, you can talk to him, and I mean, he does not hear you. You have to go and stand in front of him, do something to get his attention. Otherwise, he will not hear. You're not as important as what he's doing at that time. Everything else just fades away. Now, Michelangelo, he observed this when he visited several great art galleries in cities across Europe. He was deeply impressed by the overwhelming number of paintings that show Jesus hanging on the cross. And Michelangelo, he asked the question, said, why are art galleries filled with so many pictures of Christ upon the cross? You know, Christ dying? Why do artists concentrate upon that passing episode as if it were the last word or the final scene? Christ dying on the cross, it lasted for only a few hours. But to the end of unending eternity, Jesus Christ is alive. In other words, the crucifixion, as vital, as critical as it is to our salvation, it has grabbed our attention. But what about the resurrection? Did the resurrection have any value? Was the idea of the resurrection important? Well, I contend that it was. And the idea of the resurrection, it was so important that the chief priests and the Pharisees did everything that they could to make sure that the resurrection never took place. In Matthew chapter 27, beginning at verse 62, it says, the next day, the one after preparation day, the chief priests and the Pharisees went to Pilate. Sir, they said, we remember that while he was still alive, the deceiver said, after 3 days I will rise again. So give the order for the tomb to be made secure until the third day. Otherwise, his disciples may come and steal the body and tell people that he has been raised from the dead. This last deception, it will be worse than the first. Take a guard, Pilate answered. Go, make the tomb as secure as you know how. So they went and made the tomb secure by putting a seal on the stone and posting the guard. Do you understand what their intention was here? They wanted no hint whatsoever of a resurrected Jesus. So they go to Pilate and they request that a guard be brought. See, they thought that if the body was stolen, then they'd have real problems on their hands. But why would they think that? Because Jesus had predicted that he would rise from the dead. And as long as Jesus' body was still in the tomb, it would crush any further potential power that this movement had. They could take people over to the tomb and say, look at the body. This is Jesus. He's dead. And if he's still in that tomb, dead, then that proved that this teacher was a liar. Because he said that he would rise again. However, if the body isn't in the tomb, in the grave any longer, then suddenly these Jewish leaders, they have nothing whatsoever for show and tell. So these leaders, who are the chief priests and the Pharisees, they go to Pilate and they get this Roman guard. But why do they go to Pilate? Because Roman soldiers, they were the very best soldiers in the world. They would never desert their post of fear of death. So these Jewish leaders, they take this Roman guard and they go to the tomb. They made sure that the body was still inside, and then they roll this giant stone back into place, and then they seal it with a Roman seal, and they leave the guard there. Then they went home and they went to bed, only to wake up a couple days later to find out that they had failed. But why had they failed? They had failed because no Roman guard was going to keep Jesus in the ground, in the grave. Matter of fact, an entire Roman legion would never be able to have got that job done. Psalms chapter 2, it tells us that God sits in the heavens and he laughs at the feeble to try to control the eternal. So the idea of the resurrection, it is important because as Romans chapter 1 verse 4 tells us, and who through the Spirit of holiness was appointed the Son of God in power by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. See, the importance of the resurrection is that it declared that Jesus was and is the Son of God. Any idea of the resurrection, it was important, and it is important to the centerpiece of the gospel. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it says, now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preach to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel, you are saved if you hold firmly to the word I preach to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scripture, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me also, as to one abnormally born. But if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless. And so is your faith. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. All of that is contained in 1 Corinthians 15, a powerful verse, powerful chapter. There was a conversation between a Christian missionary and a Muslim, and it illustrates a great point. The Muslim man wanted to impress this missionary with what he considered to be the superiority of Islam. And so he says, when we go to Mecca, we at least find a coffin. But when you Christians go to Jerusalem, which is your Mecca, you find nothing but an empty grave. To this, the missionary replied and said, that is just the difference. Muhammad is dead and is in his coffin. All other founders and teachers of religion and philosophy are in their coffins. But Christ is risen. And all power in heaven and on earth has been given to him. See, the resurrection, it is the centerpiece of our faith. But not only that, the idea of the resurrection is so important that we who are Christ followers, we who are Christians, we depend on it for everything that we are and everything that we believe. Colossians chapter 2, verse 12 says, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through your faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. Romans 10:9 says, if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. 1 Peter 1:3 says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. But you see, it doesn't stop there. The resurrection, it has an impact on our entire lives. Do you realize that the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead lives inside of you? Romans chapter 8, 11 declares, and if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you. So how does that Spirit get in you? Well, Acts chapter 2, verse 38, it says, repent and be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18, Paul wrote and he said, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Jesus Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly realm, far above all other rule and authority, above all power and dominion, and every title that can be given. But not only in this present age, but in the age to come. In other words, that exact same power that raised Jesus from the dead is at work within you to give you power in your lives. But you see, there is more than that. It begins with our salvation. It continues all through our lives on this earth. And it finally impacts the final stage of our lives on this earth, our own mortality, the fact that we will die. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 14, it says, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you to him. In other words, when Jesus Christ comes again, there will be a loud command, the voice of the archangel, and the trumpet call of God. And there is no Roman guard, no Roman legion, no force on this earth will be able to keep you down. In a cemetery in Hanover, Germany, there is a grave in which there was this huge granite slabs that were placed and they were cemented together. And they're fastened by these heavy clasps. It belonged to a woman who did not believe in the resurrection of the dead. And yet, strangely enough, she directed in her will to have her grave be made so secure that if there were a resurrection, that it could not reach her. On the marker were inscribed these words: "This burial place must never be opened." In time, there was this little seed that had been covered up by the giant granite slabs, and it began to grow. Slowly at first, and it began to kind of push its way through, out from underneath the granite slab. And as the tree grew and the trunk enlarged, the great slabs were gradually shifted so that the clasps were busted. And the tree grew through. This tiny seed had become a tree that had pushed aside the stones. In the southernmost tip of Cape Town in South Africa is Cape Point, which has experienced these treacherous storms over the centuries. For many years, no one knew what lay beyond the Cape, for no ships that had ever attempted to round that point had ever returned to tell the tale. Among the ancient mariners, it was known as the Cape of Storms, and for very good reason. But then a Portuguese explorer in the 15th century named Vasco da Gama, he successfully sailed around that very point and found that beyond that raging storm, there was this great calm sea, and beyond that was the shores of India. The name of that cape, it was later changed from the Cape of Storms to the Cape of Good Hope. You see, until the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, death was a dark and foreboding prospect. But when Jesus rose from the dead, he gave us a new hope for a life beyond the grave. For the risen Christ, he says to us, "Because I live, you also will live." See, that is resurrection power. And I don't know if you've ever accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, but if you have not, today you could experience that resurrection power. Maybe you are a Christian, you've been for many years, and you're living your life. You too have that resurrection power. It lives inside of you. See, that is the freedom of the cross. That is the power of the cross. It is resurrection power. Are you experiencing it? Do you have it?